The Railwayman's Wife, written by Ashley Hay and read by Edwina Wren.
"We've got a good loco in front of us," says Mac, leaning over to watch the big green engine take a curve. "Home in no time. It's a 36. Nice run down the line."
"Most beautiful place in the world." He feels Annie tuck herself between his body and the angular edge of the train's wooden window frame. The warmth of her arm brushes against his own as he turns the pages of his newspaper and mutters the names of the countries in the news. Burma, Ceylon, Israel, South Africa, two new Germanies. By the end of the second page, he feels her heavy against him and knows she's going to sleep through this patchwork of suburban backyards, their clotheslines, their veggie patches, their hemorrhaging sheds. She'll sleep through to the slice of the journey she loves best, when the train surges through one long black tunnel and delivers her onto the coast. Here it is, the northern tip of Annie Loughlin's most beautiful place in the world.
"I'll wake you up when we get there," says Mac, and she nods, squeezing his hand. She sleeps quickly, deeply on trains, as if their rhythms and noise were a lullaby. He watches her breathing, feels the air from her mouth brush his shoulder. They cross Cook's River, then the Georges, pushing south. Through the window now, thick bush rushes by, transformed into fragments and segments of trees, palms, grasses, birds and sky, as if they'd been poured through the kaleidoscope too. His eyes flicker and dart, trying to isolate a single eucalypt, the fan of a palm, and then they close. His newspaper drops to the floor as the landscape changes from eucalypt forest to something more like a meadow, almost at Otford, almost at the head of the tunnel, and he feels her fingers light against his arm.
"Not often I get to wake you," she smiles.
"Almost there," he says. The engine is puffing and blowing, pulling hard, and the train presses on towards the archway that's been carved to open up the mountain.
"Now," says Mac, taking his wife's hand.
"Now,"
his mouth so close to her ear. They're in darkness, the sound monumental, the speed somehow faster when there's only blackness beyond the windows. And then they're out, in the light, in the space, in the relative quiet. And there's the ocean, the sand, the beginnings of this tiny plane that has insinuated itself, tenuous between the wet and the dry.